stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Yeah, welcome back to Saturdays on the Coast. Gary Birkinshaw in the chair with Matty Buettner, while Michael Buettner is over sunning himself in Fiji on a working holiday. But yeah, Adelaide Street Oval, looking at a picture, beautiful day on the coast. We've got the women's plate competition at the moment. It's Cardiff 2-2-14 leading the local side, the Clarny Vale side 1-1-7. So good game going on there. But we're going to talk some NRL now. Just going recapping the scores so far this weekend. Titans 27 defeated the Warriors 24. Roosters 60 defeated the Dragons 18. Melbourne Storm 54 defeated the Rabbitohs 20. And last night, the Manly Seagulls 32 defeated the Parramatta Eels 18. And I'd now like to welcome our NRL expert, Tony Clark. How are you, TC?
Yeah, good, Gaz. I don't know about an expert, but I'm here.
Mate, you are the man, mate. Everything we need to know about NRL, you are it, mate. Mate, it's been a big start, Anzac Day. We just said how good it is, the way they do the Anzac Day ceremonies and the way they treat the occasion to what it actually is. It's a special day in the Australian calendar, and they certainly do that very well.
They do, Gaz. I think it's Anzac Day is probably becoming, you know, as you said, our first and foremost day. And I think over all codes, I just love the respect that that they show, you know, to our diggers, and it's something that seems to get bigger and better every year.
Certainly does. We'll just quickly go through the games, mate. Titans 27, Warriors 24. So Des Hasler's first win as a Titans coach. So that's the monkey off the back for him. And they certainly did it very well. The Warriors got out to a 12-0 lead after 9 minutes, but then they were able to hit back very well and got a good lead. And Titans would come back. The Warriors come back late, but good for the Titans to get over the line. And Desi would certainly be breathing a sigh of relief today.
Oh, definitely. I think it was, as you said, 12-0 after 9 minutes. It was sort of, you know, well, how far is this going to be by the Warriors? But, credit to the Titans. I mean, they've been hanging in there for the last probably month, Gaz, you know, and they've probably forgotten how to win. But after the performance on Thursday, I'm sure that, they'll take plenty of, confidence out of that. And, in saying that, though, I thought that the Warriors were disappointing. I think they're a fair way off at the moment, and it's something that they'll have to work really hard on in the next couple of weeks to get back anywhere near their best.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Tony, it's Matt Buettner. How are you doing?
Matty, good. How are you?
Good, good. On to the next game. Roosters with a thumping victory over the Dragons, 60-18. It was a whitewash. Again, we were talking about a couple of standout players. Manu was very good for them as well. Tedesco, hands and everything. But Sam Walker was class. Fill us in with the game and how you saw it and what the Dragons have to do in response to that thumping. I think it was quite an even contest in terms of tipping heading into the game. And, the Dragons were actually sitting ninth with the Roosters at 11th. So it was definitely in the contest, but I think it's a wake-up call for the Dragons. How do you think they got to respond?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely, Matty. I think that they may have been reading the papers during the week, the Dragons. I'll be honest, I tipped them. I thought that on their performance the previous couple of weeks, I thought they'd do, and I thought the Roosters were in, you know, a fair hole, to be honest. But the credit to the Roosters, I mean, the cream did rise to the top. I think Sam Walker coming back into the team was just a confidence that he's given anyone. And it was great to see Teddy running the footy. Is there a better centre in the game than Joseph Manu? So, the cream did rise to the top. And I think that this could be a real springboard for the Roosters now to maintain or start a climb through that top eight. The Dragons, huge blowmatic to lose Suli, first tackle of the game. But, they certainly showed what they have to do to consistency is a huge thing in all sports, as we know, and that's something that the Dragons really need in their game.
Yeah, you're right there, TC. And I think we've spoken a couple of times about the Roosters and their need to get their halves sorted out. And I think Walker did a great job. And if he can continue that form, there's no doubt about the strike power that they have. And they can test anyone in the competition. With the Dragons, the thing about Dragons are 4-4. So I think they're probably probably better placed. I think a lot of people would have had them at the start of the year. But the concern, my concern with the Dragons, is the fact that the four losses that they've had, their average losing margin is 30 points. So I'm not sure whether that's an attitude thing, a give-up thing, or whatever. I just think to be losing by that much is, it's certainly something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, definitely. And that, I think that, again, is that consistency word, Gaz, that they have to, it's week in, week out. And the Dragons are just showing it. And they're ahead of, I think, where most of us had them, which is credit to Shane Flanagan. I think he's doing a wonderful job. But as he's always said, too, it's a 2 or 3 year build now.
Correct.
And I'm sure that, that they have some wonderful juniors coming through, through the maps, through the SG ball. And, that's a big catchment area down around that Illawarra area. So, I see some really bright lights for the Dragons in the future. But hopefully they will get, 2024 will give them that, foundation to build into these next couple of years.
Yeah. Storm 54, Rabbitohs 20 in the late game on Anzac Day. And once again, it was a Cameron Munster masterclass, setting up three tries, scored one himself. And Xavier Coates, he just keeps scoring tries. Well, a hat-trick in the first half. Did go for the hamstring injury. The club has come out and said they don't think it's too bad. But, once again, the game was evenly poised, halfway through the first half. But then the Storm put on five tries in 15 minutes. So, once again, they look good, the Storm. What do you make it for the Rabbitohs, though, TC?
Oh, Gaz, there's some worries there. Worrying signs, I fear, for the future of the coach. I think that, he's probably painted himself into a corner with a couple of things that have been said and done. And, they need a shake-up, the Rabbits, because it's still, on paper, it is still a top eight, if not top four team. And they're just not performing. They look like they met each other on Thursday night, actually, and it was at a trial game. There was just no fluency in anything they did. Dave Ferner will make a big difference. I've got a huge rap on him as a coach as he's coming to look after their D. But they're on a, it's now the Titans are one. I think they're anchored at the bottom, aren't they?
They are. Interesting you mentioned about Demetrio. We've got a grab from his press conference, and I'll just get it, just to talk about his future and what you think after that. So we'll just here, listen to Jason Demetrio.
There'll obviously be more talk about your job. Do you anticipate you'll be given that time? There's been no conversations about anything else?
We've got no idea, Jake. That's what I'll turn up to do. Like I've said before, I love coaching this club, love coaching this team. I'll turn up and keep giving me best. And if someone taps me on the shoulder and says that time's up, then I can't control that.
Yeah, what'd you make of that, TC? I know he's probably sick to death of answering the question, given the fact that most people thought he was going to be sacked 2 weeks ago, and he's still there put a performance like that. It was a note of resignation in his voice.
Yeah, definitely, guys. I think if he had two suitcases, one of them's already packed. I just can't see. And I don't get me wrong, because I've been there myself. I've been sacked more times than anyone. But the thing is, a club of that standing in the game. They're a powerhouse club, and I just don't think they're going to accept, what they're dishing up at the moment. If a change of coach helps, I'm sure that's what. And I read with interest this morning that Russell Crowe's back in town, so I'm pretty sure that there'll be a decision on JD's future, pretty quickly, because they can't continue to perform the way they are.
Yeah, 100% TC. The game last night, Seagulls over the Eels, 32-18. It was a great contest in the first half. In fact, Parramatta were ahead leading into the second half, but poor discipline let them down. Sivo, he scored three, but ultimately was a big part in losing the game, I think, with getting sent off in those last 15 minutes of the game, which opened up the door for the Sea Eagles. How did you see the game and Sivo's actions? Unprofessional.
Oh, Matty, I couldn't agree more. I mean, they put, I think that's where Garrick, he put the three on. Going down that left side, they put the three tries on that sealed the game. I mean, what's the Blacks thinking, to put his team under that sort of pressure? So, disappointing again. Exactly what you said, Matty. half time, you know, a great contest. I said, geez, they've really rolled their sleeves up the Eels, but then they just dropped off again, you know, and it's something, again, I think talking about coaches, you know, where does Brad Arthur go after his statement, you know, in Darwin, where he's saying they're a part-time footy team and they gave up, you know, like, where does he go this week with what he's going to say? Matty, and it doesn't matter, as you know, mate, with the levels you're played at, it doesn't matter if the coach is starting to, you know, say that within the confines of the four walls of the dressing room, you know, you can say, but not in the public domain, in my opinion. But I just think he may have made a rod for his own back.
Yeah, good. So can you hang on for a moment? We've just got to go to a break, mate. We've got some other NRL issues. I'd love to speak to you after the break if you can hang around.
Yeah, good on you guys. No worries.
Excellent, TC. It's time to go for a break here. Don't forget to call to send through the text your sporting personalities who passed too soon. So either ring us on 1300 421 533 or the text line 9477 736 733. You're listening to Saturday on the Coast live from Adelaide Street Oval.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.
Good morning and welcome back to Saturdays on the Coast, live from Adelaide Street Oval, home of the Killarney Vale Bombers. First home game of the year with all four teams playing. Currently, the women's plate side is underway, and the Bombers are 2-1-13, trailing Cardiff 2-6-18. Not a bad game of footy, Matt. The first time you've seen an AFL Oval, you told me. So.
Yeah, first time at an AFL Oval, actually.
Perfect.
But yeah, it's been a cracker, good conditions, and a bit of local footy.
A bit of crowd starting to turn up, a few cars. But we were talking to Premiership-winning coach Tony Clark before the break. Unfortunately, Tony's phone's dropped out. He must have knew some of the big topics we're about to talk about. And one, obviously, is the big one during the week was Terry Hill's passing. 52 years of age, died of a heart attack in the Philippines. Fantastic player he was. You gave a story that your father spoke about. There's been plenty of glowing tributes about him during the week. 246 matches he played with South, East, West Magpies, that is.
Yes.
Manly and also the West Tigers. He debuted for South in 1990 as an 18-year-old. So, and Premiership player for Manly in 96. Defeated when they defeated the Dragons 20-8. Played 14 games for New South Wales. 9 tests for Australia, including 1994 Kangaroo Tour. Retired in 2005. And ironically, you know, his last game was a game of rugby union in 2006. He was actually signed to play for the Central Coast Waves Rugby Union side, who no longer exists. They were going to play in the Shoot Shield. But he played for Central Coast in the Caldwell Cup Country Championship, and they won that, but he hurt his knee, so never played again. But I think some of the interesting thing about... So you talk about his on-field exploits, which were fantastic. Mark Carroll was saying during the week when he signed... when Manly were trying to get him to come across to the Seagulls, and he asked, who else you signed? And he said, we've got David Gillespie and we've got Terry Hill. He said, well, don't say any more, where do I sign? He said, I want to go there because I want to win a comp, and those two are winners. And that probably summed him up. But he was ahead of his time also. I suppose he was probably also the reason why the rugby league no longer have a draft. They don't have an NRL draft. He actually took the case to court, so he actually got the draft thrown out. So is that, but it was off field. I think he made, you know, the larrikin that he actually came out. It was on the footy show, when the footy show was flying with Fatty Vaught, and he was the one out and about, and he loved his greyhounds. Remember the old greyhound Nads, and he was running around with that. So
definitely a man of character for sure.
Yeah, so any plenty of good stories. So we certainly pass on all our best wishes to Terry Hill's family and friends at this sad time, but we're certainly missing him. So we've got our text line there and a couple of others that have come up, and obviously the big one that stands out for me is the one for Phil Hughes, 25 years of age. That actually brought a nation to a standstill. And it was the thing was, put your bat out for Phil. And everyone had their bat out in their front porch. And that was at 25 years of age, way too young. And the other one also here from another NRL one, maybe a bit before your time, was Ben Alexander. It was Greg Alexander's brother, who actually played for Penrith, played in the premiership side for the Panthers in 91, and then was tragically killed in a car accident after a game one night. So plenty of them. We'll read a few more of those as we go through. But the other interesting point I really wanted to have a chat to TC was the lawsuit against the Bulldogs by Joseph Tapini. So he's a member of the Bulldogs. He was forced to endure what he describes as unlawful corporate punishment for being late for training, a claim that he says wasn't true. He believed that the Bulldogs were saying that that he had, should have been there at 8 a.m. He believes that you had to be there at 8 a.m. if you had to be, if you want to be strapped. And he didn't need straps, so he said he thought he had to get there at 8:30. So he got there. They said he was late. So what it was, they did a 90-minute wrestling session, and then he then had to go. His punishment was to wrestle the remaining squad members, which they reckon was about 30. So it went for about another probably 90 minutes of that. So he's claiming a mental health and everything like that, which is going to be a very interesting lawsuit about this. And Matt, you've been in a professional environment of soccer. How hard is too hard a training? Is, I suppose, is where we go. We had the Keith Titmus from Manly in the off season years ago. He died from a heat related stress. So this is going to be really put on the radar, I reckon, in all codes. I reckon all codes will be watching this. Is that how far can you go at training? How far can you go with physical punishment? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely, Burks. Look, I've had a read through this through the week. I've also listened to a couple of interviews and players of the past talking about this issue. And there's always punishment within any club for things of that reason. If you're late to training, you've got to expect to maybe do runs, or you've got to do extras. Whatever that may look like is up to the club, the captain, whatever systems are in place, right? So you've got to expect the punishment. I don't have any right of say because I wasn't in the Bulldogs, of course, but if there was a case for every incident of this nature, we'd have lawsuits every week from a number of separate players, right? And maybe that was the punishment for the club at the time. And from what I've been told that weekend, which is only natural if you're rocking up to training late, you're a chance of not making the squad. And he was 18th man on that weekend. So for him to come out and say this, again, I don't think there's enough information coming out of it at the moment. But if he was to come out at the moment, I feel like there's a lot of players, if this goes ahead, that are going to come out and it's going to interrupt a lot of clubs and stir the pot everywhere, I think.
Yeah, you certainly. It's going to be a very interesting watch from a lot of different... He's going for $4 million. We reckon he's going to have a 10-year NRL career ahead of him.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And the other big talking point is... From the weekend's NRL is the NRL kickoff. The debate's going to come there from what happened in the beginning of the game between the Dragons and the Roosters from the kickoff. And we might just, for those who don't know, we might just actually hear that audio right now from the kickoff from the game. And then we'll also then hear the audio from both Shane Flanagan, coach of the Dragons, and Trent Robinson, coach of the Roosters, about what their thoughts are. So if we just go to that audio, please.
Game on at Allianz, into the corner taken by Young, and here comes Warrior Hargreaves, and out the back of the first tackle, it's Asuli, I think, who's gone reeling back.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, we want to play this really tough gladiator sport, and we want to get down there, and especially off kickoffs, and have good contact with the front rowers, and... but we see it too often. I don't know the answer, but yeah, we see it too often. And you know, when it happens to one of your players, and it's just not nice to see. And I don't know how we stop it unless we start with a play the ball of a kick of a game, and that'd be not something that I'd like to see. But we need to definitely look in the modern game. We can't have these concussions. We need to look after the players, and you know, the short dropouts and all that sort of stuff has probably changed it a little bit. But once again, I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really hard one, you know. I love kickoffs. I think, you know, that set a statement to how we wanted to play today. But
yep, we'll get him,
yep. We don't want to see that as well,
yep,
from Moses. So
yeah, we'll have TC.
Yeah, it's a really hard one for me. I think we can see we're getting to the point that needs to shift. They tried to do it through the short kickoffs. It's not enough. Field position is still a really big part of the game. So you need to get down there. So I think we're getting closer to a change. Soon there.
Yeah, there you go. So TC's back on the line. Mate, you heard those grabs. What are your thoughts? Because I know that you're the ideas man around this panel. How would you change it?
Firstly, look at tackling technique. Yes, that's the first thing. I'm getting your head out of the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's too upright. I think there was... It is. There's honestly, and I was very encouraged over the Anzac Day, the three games on Anzac Day, were that I saw some some technique that was you know, a throwback to not that long ago, where we were hitting around the hips, hitting around the, you know, like Kieran Foran made the best tackle I've seen for 10 years on Fanua Blake, you know, 3 metres out from the line, just chopped him down, you know. So I can't see how they could take kickers, because exactly what Robbo said, you know, like it's just the fabric of the game. But why is everyone so upright? Why is everyone so upright? Like, all Sirleaf had to do, yeah, sure, is just, you know, bend, drive up under the footy. You know, like, it's to me, you know, and the other thing, the whole thing needs a reset, because we can't take it out of the game.
No, it's about making, everyone wants to have that big first hit up. It's about getting the contact, getting the mental edge, if nothing else, making a statement early on, and there's no doubt about that. TC, I'd like that we had a quick talk while that. I want to know your thoughts on the Joseph Taponi lawsuit against the Bulldogs. Now, you've been a coach, you've at all different levels. What is your take on this, and where do you think it could take the game?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly there, Gaz, while I was listening to what Matty was saying. You know, like, because we weren't in the room, we don't know. You know, I remember playing for the Gosford Townies, and our punishment was getting up President Hill there at Gosford, you know, if you were late or you did something silly. It was, that's how it was. You know, and we still, I know, in coaching, you know, and we've all got the wheels, you know, that you spin for, I remember the funniest one when I was at Manly, the worst prize that anyone could get was having to take Desi out for dinner. And that was, you know, and it's not only the tough stuff that's on that, or you have to wash, you know, all the staff's car for 2 weeks. I sort of can't comment too much, because not being in a room, if the kid was humiliated, it's a different story. But, you know, if he's had to wrestle 30 blokes for 30 seconds, you know, again, he probably could have put his hand up and said, right, boy, you know, it's a tough one, because it could change again. Exactly what Matthew said, it could have ramifications over all codes. You know, as you said, there'll be a lot of people watching it with interest, because if he's going for 4 minutes, you know, and then you're in the inner sanctum of what they do and how they do it. It's a really tough, because again, you know, you don't see anyone, you know, anyone that doesn't train hard doesn't make it. And that's something that, as long as the kid wasn't humiliated, I'm sort of siding with the club a little.
Yeah, you're only as strong as your weakest squad member, and that's probably pretty true there. TC, thanks very much for your time, mate. As always, mate, great insight to the NRL. We really appreciate you coming on.
No, good on you, boys. Great show this morning. Congratulations, Matthew. You're doing a great job. I think your father's job is in danger.
Thanks, Tony. Cheers.
There's TC, a coaching legend on the Central Coast. We're going to go to a quick break. We're here brought to us by Chemist Outlet. For discount medication, choose Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day. We'll be back shortly. It's 9:45 at Adelaide Street. We're going to be talking up next with Killarney Vale coach Corey Shackleton on his thoughts on the Bombers, how their season's going and how they're going today. We're on Saturdays on the Coast.
Stop paying full price for prescriptions and medication. Visit Chemist Outlet. Outlet prices every day.
You're listening to Saturdays on the Coast on SEN Track.